Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. It is officially the season finale. Not for us, though. Not for us. We are going to be running all through the winter. And I know what you're thinking. What the hell are you going to talk about? Don't worry. We are thinking the same thing, too. But we are going to plan plenty of content for you. And at the end of the day, the F1 season might have stopped. But the news, the rumours, everything does not start pouring out. So, yeah, we are going to carry on. We've actually really enjoyed this year. I think this year for us has been second half of the year, like quite a big turning point for us. I think we actually started committing to it a bit more seriously, like on all the social side of things, even in terms of turning up to the podcast with a lot more structure, more talking points. So yeah, it's been a good year for us, and listener numbers have grown, follower numbers have grown, and so yeah, just, you know, want to say thank you before we do kick off the sort of end of season show. But as I say, it's the end of the F1 season. It's not the end of the race car season. I think all that's going to happen is episodes are just going to be shorter naturally, so we're not going to bore you to death every single week for an hour plus talking about shit. They might just be like 30, 40 minutes long. But we do genuinely have a lot of stuff lined up, so don't worry. If you are watching any clips, obviously you're listening right now, and wherever you are listening, give us a 5-star rating. It really does make a difference. Leave a review if you can. It doesn't really matter what you say. Say something nice, that would be But
it doesn't matter what you say, but say something nice.
Ideally something nice. I mean, if you're really displeased with, don't leave us a review because it fucks it up, but just send us a DM and we'll ignore it. Yeah, you can see if you're watching any clips from this episode, we have started making improvements to the studio, or the set. I say studio, it's my fucking office. but this, like, half of the room is my set. Well, our set.
I like it.
Yeah, and so we've got these really cool lights, which I'm sure are just like, all I'm thinking of right now is my energy bill.
And I just don't worry about it.
I keep thinking, like, the debt, the amount I owe is just going up, like slot machine winnings. You know, like when it goes like 1, 2, 3, and then the number of winnings goes up like 1, 2, 3. That's what I imagine my electricity bill is doing right now, because they are incredibly powerful. They're so powerful they buzz. Can you hear that?
They do, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So Had to sort of mitigate that by not having the waffling sign on today, because something might explode in here. But yeah, we'll crack on now, because there is a great deal to talk about from, and this is a discussion point at some point, potentially one of the best seasons ever.
Yeah, I think that's a...
Just to confirm, that's not a statement from me, it's a question.
Yeah.
It's something I'm putting out there.
I think that's something down the line we will digest and go through the season and have a proper season review. But let's get into a bit of F1 news. Obviously, this weekend, Bortoleto crowned F2 champion. And I have to say, right, delighted for him, but I do feel really bad for Hadjar.
What an anti-climax as well.
You go, if you don't know what we're talking about, so basically it came down to half a point coming into Abu Dhabi from Qatar. And Hadjar, you know, they went into a race. The first race, I think it was something like 5-6 points different heading into the final race on Sunday.
As in heading into it. Because, I mean, Hadjar was unlucky all weekend. In the sprint race, he took wing damage.
Yeah.
And drove a really good race. I mean, he was quick, man. And he was, you know, he was missing a whole end plate.
Fortunately for the penalties, he managed to work his way up.
So he actually, as the race went, in the sprint, he had a very, very good race, sprinkled in with some misfortune.
Heading into the feature race, I mean, look, these guys work all year and they work their arse off to get to where they are. Hadjar didn't even make it off the line. He stalled on the line. And then before Bortoleto even got into turn one, he was already champion. And like, you then think to yourself, you're like, you know, the radio message came from Hadjar going, what's going on? I've worked my all, you know, all year for this, and this is what it comes down to. And I'm like, that's got to be a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, we've never sat here and claimed to be racing drivers. You know, Matt can barely drive a road car. But was that a generational choke? I put this in the chat because we've obviously got Andy in there, who was, he's to race in Genetis. Like the Genetis series or whatever. I was hoping he would shed some light on it. He didn't. But with the stall thing, was it, have we found out? I know they said they were going to like look into it. He was like, you guys need to look into it or whatever. Was it Hadjar's fault? Was it the car's fault? Because he's either incredibly unlucky, like so unlucky, which is so entirely possible, by the way. We've seen a lot of bad luck at Qatar.
Abu Dhabi.
Shit. Abu Dhabi. But this, yeah, this takes the cake. And I mean, was it him? Was it nerves? Because he had to win that race, didn't he?
He had to win it. It was, you know, for Bortoleto, all he had to do was finish ahead of Hadjar. That's all he had to do. He didn't have to do anything else.
The thing was, is like, Hadjar, again, looked, because he came back in, he came back out, didn't he? He looked really quick.
Mm.
So, to be honest, I think as fans, I was pissed because I felt robbed of a good race.
We've discussed on the podcast many times, you know, what I've really started enjoying F2 this season. And, you know, we discussed on the last podcast, it went down to half point. Going into the sprint, it was like 5-6 point different. Then you're going into the feature race and you're kind of like, okay, this is going to be epic.
Mm.
For it to then not even make it off the line. And then you're like, wow, that is an anticlimax. Because,
yeah.
And I feel for him because, you know, you put all this work in. These are, you know, all of this work is leading to F1. And when you have these type of issues or these type of, whether it's a mistake or not, you're on the world stage.
Yeah. But I mean, what I will say, and this is no consolation, right? Because any of you guys at home will know, if you're doing something, I mean, okay, probably all of us, you know, you, me, all of you guys listening at home have never competed at this level, right? That's fine. Like, very few people do.
I wanted a track day.
Yeah, do you see what I mean? But when you do compete in anything, you know, I can use me playing Saturday League football, even us playing F1, right?
Mm.
You want to win. So Isaac Hadjar has very likely, it's not confirmed, has very likely got a seat in F1 for next season. That's
potentially,
that this is what the rumors are suggesting. So it's very easy for us to be like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, he got P2. He's going to drive an F1 anyway. That's the ultimate goal. But I think, nah, like, he will still be tossing and turning, thinking about that stall and thinking how he could have won the F2 championship. But instead it went to Bortoleto, who did back-to-back F3, F2.
Yeah, it's decent.
And now he's got a seat in F1 as well. So
talking off the, you know, champions of F2, I've got a little quiz for you.
Hmm.
And I want to see how good your knowledge is. So, you know, from 2005, when it started, to 2024.
2005?
Yep.
Well, it was GP2 then. It's been F2 since I...
Yeah, I mean, sorry, that's what I mean.
So you want me to guess GP2 winners?
No, I'm going to give you a date. Yeah, I'll give you a name, and I want to I want you to tell me what year it was.
That makes no sense. You're going to give me a date and you want me to guess what year it was.
No. I will give you a name.
Okay.
And I want you to guess what year it was.
Okay. That,
so it's from 2005. Because I'm thinking it's going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to make it quite difficult for you. Right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Timo Glock.
As it said, he was champion.
Well, that's the point of the game. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see, I catch on quick. 2007. Oh, obviously I knew he was in the sport in 2008.
Yeah. Romain Grosjean. When I looked at this list, I was quite surprised. it makes you think. Christ, Grosjean. I can't remember.
He's been in the sport a long time, man. 2009.
2011. Oh. Pierre Gasly.
2015.
2016. Fuck it. So close. George Russell.
2018.
Well done. Van Dorn.
Probably like 2012.
2015.
Fuck.
Maldonado.
2010.
Spot on. Nico Rosberg.
Oh, he's got to be 05.
He is. Lewis Hamilton.
06.
Yep. Hulkenberg.
Oh, Nico Hulkenberg. 20, fuck, 20, have we used 2014 yet?
You haven't, no.
2014.
2009.
You know, I knew he'd been in the sport for a long time, but I was like, he's still kind of young.
Oscar Piastri.
Should know this. 21?
21. And Drugovic?
Oh, 22.
It's not everyone, but I thought...
It's not everyone.
Oh, final one, Charles Leclerc.
2017.
Well done. But no, been a very good F2 season this year. I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to next year. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I think it's made me want to watch more F2 next year. Because that is the thing. We spoke about you going to the race, and obviously I went to Silverstone last year.
This year?
No, I definitely went last year. I didn't go this year.
I thought you went this year. No. Oh, you didn't, did you? No.
It really makes you appreciate how much is actually on during the day that you don't necessarily always watch, but you can watch. It's all on TV. Everything's televised. But when you're there, you watch it and you're like, holy shit, this is actually quite cool.
I mean, you got, like we discussed in with the other week, the amount of what you have. Some races don't have anything. It's literally just F1. Some have the F1 Academy, F2, F3, obviously F1, so the Porsche as well. Yeah. There's so much that goes on in the day, and it is a great spectacle. And obviously going to Spa this year, it's made me want to go to more next year.
Yeah, Monza.
Want to go to Monza. We even discussed Spain, potentially. Spain looks good.
If any brands want to collab and send us, we can... We can go on your behalf.
We'll go. Yeah, we won't say no. But no, let us know what your thoughts are on F2. If you've watched it, get in touch. Right. Shall we discuss? I mean, it's kind of all links into race, but also news. So Lando Norris, he's obviously come out and admitted that there is room for improvement. He is confident about raising his level for 2025. He said, I think this year I've proved not everything is where it needs to be. But ever since those moments, I feel like I've improved a lot in the last quarter and second half of the year. A huge amount. I have confidence that I can fight against Max and I can fight against Charles in 2025. What are your thoughts?
Has Lewis died in this scenario?
No, he did go on and he did say, obviously, with Lewis going to Ferrari, he is also around there as well.
Yeah. Good.
Because I initially thought this and I read further down. So, yeah.
Okay. No Lando hate. No Lando hate. Now I said this about Lando. I said in a previous episode he will be better equipped to challenge for a world title next season. And I don't mean in terms of car, I mean like mentally and how he deals with it. I don't care what you say, right? A lot of people in the comments say, oh, it was impossible to get, like, Max was too far ahead, Lando's done the best he can. Lando himself will know that this was a prized opportunity to win a world championship. He did not step up. He made too many mistakes. And you could see the pressure get to him. Mm. That is not a dig at him, right? That's not me slandering him. That's fact. You can look at that and that happened. But it is perfect practice for next year. I've openly said, I think Lando will be challenging for a title next year. Do I think he is on the level of Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton? No. But if he's got a car that offsets that difference, then he's more than capable of winning a world championship because he's a very good driver. And very good drivers have won world championships before.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think he's had the car this year. He's had the best car for the majority of the year.
Yeah, since Miami.
Yeah, and but I think for him, it's been a massive learning curve. It's his first season actually challenging properly for a title. Some drivers can deal with it straight away.
Yep.
Some drivers can go in there and they show the from the elite to the good drivers as such.
Yeah.
Lando Norris, unfortunately, you know, struggled throughout this year. He made certain errors that cost him massively the championship. And I know Andrea Stella has said in the past, oh, you know, the drivers' championship wasn't what they were focused on. That's a load of crap. You know, at the end of the day, you don't start a season going, do you know what, lads? We want to win the constructors, but we do not want to win the drivers' championship.
Yeah, and it's like, how does that even... Typically, the pair go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like you wouldn't actively think, nah, forget about that one. Lando can wait. That was complete bullshit. And I get it, he's protecting his driver and everything. But ultimately, right, on his day, Lando Norris is a superb driver. And I think you've seen that at certain races.
We showed that in Abu Dhabi this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Abu Dhabi was a perfect example of when Lando is firing on all cylinders. Yeah, he can cruise.
It was a very mature drive. It was right from the word go. He held the lead well. And actually, this is a guy who was under a lot of pressure to deliver the constructors for McLaren for the first time since, what, 1998?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you got to exclude 2007. Yeah.
But if we're going by what is on the history books, 1998 was the last time McLaren won a constructors. For Lando Norris, Piastri was already basically out of the race then.
Yeah.
You know, all that pressure is on Lando Norris. And actually, for me, he showed a lot of maturity this weekend. And he controlled that race from start to finish really well.
No, it was so good. It was such a good drive from him. And you could see, like, look, Oscar, yeah, whatever happened to Oscar happened. We will discuss it. But they were in the same car, right? They're in the same car. Mm. Oscar was struggling to cut through the pack. You know, Oscar's a very quick driver. So what I'm saying is that car wasn't necessarily, like, OP this weekend. Lando drove a very good race and he controlled it. So, yeah, you've got to give him credit. You know, Lando was struggling to get past the Aston Martin of Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's an easy feat to pass him, but with those two cars, you would think, okay, that's probably fairly easy to get past him, but it was difficult. So, I think that goes to show that how well Lando did.
Yeah, no, he did a fantastic drive this weekend. And I think he'll be fighting for a championship next year. I don't think he'll win it because I think we've seen, you know, for example, Ferrari coming through. Look, I'm a delusional Hamilton fan. I've said it here on the podcast already. Lewis Hamilton is winning his eighth title next year.
Wait for this. Look, if we talk about Lewis.
Oh yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Like that.
We're getting brighter.
Yeah, you can't really see it. I'm buzzing for next year, but I do think Lando will take a lot from this year. I think he's in a position where actually not just him, but the team generally will learn a lot. I think the team have done brilliant to get their constructors along the line, but it was touch and go because Ferrari did not make it easy for them towards the end of the year. But I think Andrea Stella, Zak Brown, you know, they've got such a good team there now where this will boost them a lot of confidence heading into 2025.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, McLaren are undoubtedly best placed to go and win both the Constructors and Drivers World Championship next year. That's not, you know, I don't think anyone really debates that. They've had predominantly the quickest car all season.
Yeah.
I say they've realistically had the most consistent car. They seem to have really cracked the regulations now. You know, I think that turning point in 2023 was where you saw, oh, okay, actually, they understand this. Mm. And they've got two very quick drivers. They've got a great driver pairing.
Yeah.
That it's going to be very hard to compete with. And I mean, Max Verstappen is always going to be Max Verstappen, but Red Bull have obviously lost Adrian Newey.
And what we hear, Red Bull car for next year, is they're well behind development.
Yeah, they are. They're not feeling too confident in it.
But like we've said before, when you have Max Verstappen at the helm, you can never really discard him. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, other news.
We have other news?
Yes.
Is this one going to make me laugh?
This one will...
Or cry.
I'll probably cry. Red Bull not fully in control or whether Sergio Perez will continue.
Yeah, I saw this.
Replacing Sergio Perez, who currently has a long-term deal, is far more complicated prospect for Red Bull.
It's not.
In order for Red Bull to put someone else alongside Max Verstappen, anyone, they will need Perez to voluntarily step down.
Right, that's not happening, is it? And why? Since when is... Oh my God, this... No.
By the way, this is just speculation. Okay, I'm only going by what I'm reading.
He's got something on them.
In
what world, right? Right, scenario. In what world can this scenario happen? You're at work. You know, you're at your desk. You're eating a little sandwich. Boss walks in. Need a word with you, actually. Yeah, it's not good news. We're going to have to let you go. Nah. What? Yeah, no, mate, you're sacked. No, I'm not. Well, yeah. Nope. It just, why can Sergio Perez do that? That makes no sense.
No. And
he has to voluntarily leave.
We've said this before. Red what Bull...
position of power is this man in?
He's higher than Helmut Marko.
Yeah, like what? Does he just own the team now?
He actually.
Someone gave him the keys to Red Bull.
Now he just runs it.
That's obscene. I cannot believe... Do you know what? If I was Christian Horner, I would have packed his bags for him after he pulled up on the side of the road on lap 2 or 3 or whatever it was.
Well, this is what makes it funnier, because...
By the time Perez got back to the garage, it would have been 2 little suitcases. I said, there you go, buddy. Safe flight. Game over.
Well, Christian Horner has come out, and he's had some many, many quotes recently about Sergio Perez. And I'm going to go through some of these quotes. And if you're Sergio Perez and you're listening to these, surely you're going, okay, I'm not wanted here. This season,
really?
This season hasn't gone to anyone's plan, particularly with Checo's performance. And since Monaco, it's been very, very tough for him. So inevitably, once we get this race out of the way, we'll sit down and discuss the future. Christian Horner always said, we've got 2 talented drivers in RB, Tsunoda and Lawson. But until the situation is clear with Sergio and what he wants to do, everything else is purely speculation.
Until the situation is clear. And what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Why is that relevant?
Well, this is why something definitely is dodgy going on, because that quote there is Sergio Perez has the power of... I don't know why.
Like, let's find out what Sergio wants to... No, that literally does not happen.
And also, what sort of situation would you go into where, okay, you know, you go in and go, right, Sergio, would you like to leave us? No. Okay, cool. Good chat. Like, what?
It just doesn't happen. Imagine going into McDonald's and being like, do you fancy making me a burger? No, it's their job. Like, you pay for one and they make you it. Like, who's paying the bills here? Because it's not Sergio Perez. They should be able to walk in there and be like, look, right. We give Perez a hard time. And it's purely for the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Sergio Perez, for the bulk of his career, has been a very solid, very good F1 driver. Okay? You might sit here and think, oh, you boys just hate Perez, blah, 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 blah. No. We're just being rational about his performance across the last 2 seasons. In particular, this season, which has been truly, truly horrendous. Now, I think the confusion and frustration comes from the fact that Albon lost his seat for nowhere near as poor performance. Gasly lost his seat for nowhere near as poor performance. You've got Sergio Perez, who is somehow in control. It's like he runs the team. Like, I feel like at this point, Sergio Perez could sack Max Verstappen.
God, can you imagine?
Well, like, why couldn't it happen? Anything seems plausible at this point.
The thing is with this is, you know, we're sitting here going, you know, Sergio Perez doesn't deserve that seat.
He doesn't.
No, but actually...
He did.
Yeah.
When he got the seat, he deserved it.
But I go back here. This is Red Bull's fault here. Why on earth would you offer Sergio Perez a long-term deal earlier in the season where he had a poor performance in Imola. He then had a poor performance in Monaco. But then you decide to go, we're going to offer you a long-term deal. I mean,
I'm not being funny. If McLaren can pay off Danny Ric 20 mil, Red Bull can get rid of Sergio Perez.
Well, you would have thought so. You would have thought so. And I don't want to see anyone out of their job, right? This is not what I'm saying. But surely, Sergio Perez has cost Red Bull the constructors. And we've touched on this podcast before. The Drivers' Championship is great, but it's where the money is, where the constructors is. Red Bull are finished P1 2022, P1 2023. They finished P3 this year. Not because of Max Verstappen, because of Sergio Perez.
Well, yeah. I mean, I said that fact on that reel that we did. If you take the difference in points between drivers, right? Mm. The points difference between Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen is bigger than the points difference of all the other teammates combined.
Mm.
That's not right. No. Okay, so, you know, Matt can sit here and say we don't want to see someone lose their job. But fundamentally, I do. I don't mean that in a horrible way. Sergio Perez is not going to be sitting on a street corner with an empty hat begging for bread. Do you know what I mean? He'll be fine. He's had a great F1 career. He's been a really great player in the sport. But his time is up. And you get this in sport. And I think we're allowed to have these sort of emotions towards him where we think, look, this, especially if you're a Red Bull fan, right? I'm not a Red Bull fan, and you see how passionate I get about this. If I was a Red Bull fan, I'd be losing my mind. And that's fine. If Sergio Perez is your driver, great. But if you can't look at the situation like rationally and logically, you know, then your opinion's kind of invalid. We can sit here and be like, look, something is categorically wrong here. And we just can't understand why the team aren't getting rid of him. You know, you say they've got a great talent pool. Isaac Hadjar, Yuki Tsunoda, Liam Lawson. You've got drivers like Colapinto, who are not going to have a seat next season. You've got Felipe Drugovic, who still hasn't got a seat. You've got Teo Pourchaire, who won F2 last year. And I know these drivers aren't, not all of them are related to Red Bull, but I'm just saying there's a pool of talent out there that could be being tapped into. But you've got someone like Sergio Perez who is, for some reason, able to stick around. Yeah. And I just don't understand it at this point.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Do let us know what your thoughts are on this. Right, Carlos Sainz, value to Williams, has already hit away from on-track activities because they've just got a new partnership with Santander. So already...
Yeah, well Santander was obviously Carlos Sainz. Major sponsor. Yeah. They were obviously sponsor of Ferrari.
Yeah.
They're a Spanish bank. He's a Spanish driver. Everyone knew that Santander were going to leave Ferrari.
No, but obviously...
But I mean, that's huge for Williams because I imagine that is a big deal. I mean, it's Santander.
Yeah.
Like, that. It's a bumper deal. So, I'm happy for them. I do want to talk about Carlos Sainz.
Okay.
I felt really bad for him on Sunday.
Why?
I really put myself in his shoes and I thought that you're an F1 driver. The pinnacle of F1 is Ferrari. Okay? Carlos Sainz has done absolutely nothing wrong. He's done nothing to deserve to lose his seat at Ferrari. And look, I know Lewis Hamilton comes knocking or however it went down. You just don't say no. One of them has to be sacrificed. Charles Leclerc is, you know, Ferrari golden boy. It was always going to be Carlos Sainz, but he's been a really good driver for them. You know, he had a bit of a blip in 22, but he's been really solid. 21, 23, 24. And you saw how much it meant to him. And then I was just thinking to him, I was like, this must be so hard to take, because essentially from this point on, it's very unlikely that his career is going to get any better. It kind of feels like, to me, like that's where his career has peaked. And it's like, there's no reason for that peak to be over.
Mm.
But it is.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think, like you say, when Lewis Hamilton comes knocking, you don't really say no. But that's why... See, I'm really excited to see what he will do at Williams, because I think what Carlos Sainz has shown is he is a quality driver.
Yeah. Well, and you know that... I mean, you remember the announcement video when they showed it to the Williams team like 30 minutes before. Mm. The excitement in all of the team's face. And that is how good of a driver Carlos Sainz is. Like, he's probably fired up the whole factory just by saying, you know, I'm coming to you guys. Yeah.
And I think for that alone, this is going to be such a good project for him, because you've got a team now. Let's be real here. He's, you know, Carlos Sainz going into Williams, he is going to be the number one driver. It's not going to be, oh, Alex, you know, Carlos Sainz, a big name going into Williams. They're going to invest heavily in Carlos Sainz. So for 2026, he's obviously been sold this dream that actually come 2026, Williams will be in a good position where they'll be challenging for mid-table, top half of the table, which he must believe, because I don't believe for one second that Carlos Sainz would go to a team and go, I'm just going to go and just not do well in my career. He believes there's going to be something that's going
to
happen.
Two points to counter that.
Yeah.
Number one, being sold a dream is not that we're going to be fighting mid-table.
Yeah.
Number two, it doesn't sound like he had too many other options. Mercedes didn't come knocking. Red Bull didn't come knocking.
No.
McLaren were never going to come knocking.
Sauber did. They're going to be Audi in 2026.
Yeah. Well, do we know that they did?
Well, reports did. Well, they'd be stupid not to, wouldn't they?
But I think Williams was likely one of his only options. But I mean, we said before, Williams are in a good place, realistically. They are pushing in the right direction. I just worry, because I feel like it would be so unfair if Carlos Sainz was never on the podium again. It would be so unfair if Carlos Sainz never won a race again. Because had he have stayed at Ferrari, he would have had both those things. And he just didn't deserve to lose his seat.
Okay, I'll counter that. How good would it be if Carlos Sainz puts that Williams on a podium?
Oh,
which I personally think he can do. Come, you know, don't get me wrong, 2025, I'm not expecting him to do much. Come 2026, from what we're hearing, you know, with this Mercedes engine, with, you know, what the development is for Williams, they could potentially be a team challenging for podiums again. So for someone like Carlos Sainz to put himself on a podium in a Williams, which hasn't happened in George Russell at Spa that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, which wasn't even a race.
You can't even class as a podium.
The last person probably would have been Bottas.
Potentially, yeah. But for Carlos Sainz to go there and do something like that and take Williams to the next level, I think it's an excellent project for him.
Yeah, I just think is it living in dreamland? You know, it ultimately it also depends on the next regulations. Like the next generation of cars, if they're going to be, you know, I think we saw much of the same as the previous generation. I know this was a very different generation of cars, but typically had a dominant car all the way through. I know the field is neutralizing a little bit now, but even so, there is a big gap between those sort of front runners and the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
You might say, oh, that's actually changed. Like, look at Abu Dhabi, like the Haas are up there, Alpine. It's end of season stuff. Mm. You know, we're not going to be going into 2025 with an Alpine at the front or Haas, you know, being quicker than a Mercedes and whoever else. It's just, it's entirely possible it might happen. It's very unlikely. We do see this sort of stuff at the end of the season where these... The midfield teams and the teams further back are still developing, because they've actually got a lot more to crack for next year. Whereas the teams that are... And also, they're still fighting. You know, Alpine was in a very important points battle. the teams at the front kind of just call it a day at a certain point, and they're like, well, we'll move on to next year. So that's why you see that gap close up. So I think the idea that Williams are going to come into 2026 and perhaps be a team fighting at the front, there's every chance in the world that may happen. Do I believe it's going to happen? Probably not. Do I want it to happen? Yes.
I'd love to see Williams back on top. I really would.
Well, I'd like to see them at least second with Ferrari on top and Hamilton.
Oh, yeah, no, but Lewis will win the championship next year, so after that, it's fine.
Yeah, he has. Well, he's got 25 and 26.
Yeah, about. Right, yeah, true.
And then he might as well go on and do 26, 27.
Very true.
Because then he's got 10, and then he can retire. Or just stay.
No one will catch him, will
go
they?
For 20.
Just talking about Carlos and Charles, and how they matched up over their career.
Oh, yeah, this because I don't know this, but I was thinking about it when I was talking about him having good seasons.
Do you want to do it as a quiz or do you want me to just tell you?
Do it as a little quiz.
Ooh. Okay, so wins. So how many wins did Carlos Sainz have?
Three.
Four.
Ooh. So I was thinking Silverstone.
Yeah.
Australia and Singapore. What did I miss? You haven't even got it, have you?
I've just got a
clear print. Unbelievable.
He's won two this year, though, hasn't he?
Where else did he win? I don't know.
I mean, we should get your video up because you spoke about it.
Should I pull up that picture? I should have it.
Yeah.
Isn't that mad how you just forget? He won in Mexico.
Ah, that's right, yeah. Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, how many wins does he have?
Well, he's got three this season. During their time together?
Yeah.
Oh, I reckon maybe 12.
Six.
As little as six?
That's what it says here, yeah.
Well, even including 2022? How many races did he win in 22?
Not many, as we think.
Well, I mean, if he's...
Because you've got to remember, he didn't win any in 23.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 12 is a ridiculous shout. I don't know why I said that.
Well, because you've got to remember, overall races, he's just matched Danny Rick.
And he didn't win 21 either, did he?
No, and he's just matched Danny Rick with overall wins.
Yeah.
So you're saying 12, you're giving him a lot of credit there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Podiums, Carlos Sainz.
Six.
25 podiums. Where the hell did you get... He's won four races. And oh yeah, but apparently he's only got six podiums.
It's actually so early. It's like 20 past 8 in the morning.
Charles Leclerc.
34.
31.
Right, well that was a better guess.
Pole positions.
Carlos Sainz?
Yep.
Six.
Well done, six.
Is it?
Yeah. Charles Leclerc.
11.
19.
Wow.
Yeah.
His pole to win conversion rate is horrendous.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you Charles Leclerc's overall points, okay? 1,029. What's Carlos Sainz?
1,002.
900.5.
900.5.
Yeah, I don't really know why I said it like that. 900.
0.5.
Yeah. I don't know why. And 0.5. So
fair. That's. I mean, that's a fairly big gap.
It is. But I think one thing which you can say about Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, they've had a very successful partnership.
Yeah.
As a Ferrari duo, they've gone through a lot of tough times. 2022 was a really challenging time because that's the first time properly in a while for them too. They were challenging as such. They were in contention for titles and constructors. Yeah. 2023 was really tough.
23 was tough for everyone.
Except Red Bull, unless
you're Red Bull.
But Carlos Sainz again. He won in Singapore last year.
He did.
And this year, you know, they've really stepped up. Fred Vasseur has come in and he's really stabilised this Ferrari team. And that's why I'm really confident heading into next year that actually Ferrari are in the best place to win the constructors. If they can continue this, you know, consistency going into next year, I do truly believe they're in a very good position. And it was a clip at the end of the race where obviously Charles Leclerc was standing against the wall and he was, you know, looking really deflated because they didn't win the Constructors. And Lewis Hamilton went over to him. And for a point there, I was like, if you're Lewis Hamilton, just going over and just going, don't worry, we've got it next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a really potent partnership.
Mm.
Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc. Like, Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc have been a really good F1 partnership, right?
And you've got to remember, Carlos Sainz had to really prove himself because he was not the Tifosi's first choice going into Ferrari. He had to go, it was always Charles Leclerc. Carlos Sainz had to go in there. He had to prove himself. He had to fight. He had to really justify why he was there.
And he really did that. Like, he achieved that. I think any Ferrari fan, which, like ourselves, we're not true Ferrari fans, but, you know, true Ferrari fans that support Ferrari for Ferrari,
yeah,
I do think have come to a point where they accepted him. And it was like, I think they're going to miss him in a way, but they'll soon forget about him when Sir Lewis steps into a red suit. And I cannot express how good a Leclerc-Hamilton partnership is. That as a team, that's going to have the boys quivering.
Yeah, I'm excited. Right, should we get in? What other? I want to touch on the Constructors quickly. So obviously, as we know, the Constructors was completed this weekend with McLaren taking it. But do you know about the prize pool?
I know there is one.
So, well done. So the prize pool is made up of about 50% of F1's commercial profits, meaning it can vary from season to season.
Mm-hmm.
So the exact amount of money up for grabs this season isn't really known, but it's estimated to be around £783 million. Okay.
Pocket change, that.
The winning constructor will take home about £110 million of that. Nice. So again, it's massive for each team where you finish in the tables. The pool actually isn't evenly distributed based on the standing. So with apparently, I didn't realize this. So Ferrari are always given an extra payment because of their status as F1's oldest team, having completed in every season since 1950.
I don't really see how that makes sense.
Nor do I. However, news.
But why?
I don't know. Just says because they're the oldest team.
Yeah, but they're such a wealthy team. It would make sense to distribute more funds to the teams that have less money.
Yeah.
Then maybe you can level the playing field a little bit. But
look, I'm assuming that stat is right. Do let me know if it's not.
Well, it's a bit. I just don't really understand why.
No.
Just because they're the oldest team. How does that make sense? It's not like that doesn't show their loyalty to the sport. Do you know what I mean? It's not. I mean, Ferrari want to be in the sport. It's, I don't know. That's a bit crazy. But there is one thing I want to talk about, which kind of links to that. Obviously, we've spoken about Red Bull coming third in the Constructors. A lot of people online are suggesting that perhaps they engineered this.
Okay. How?
Now, as you may or may well not know, the further down you finish in the Constructors, the more amount of wind tunnel time you get. Heading into next year, there's going to be heavy development on the 2026 cars, right? Because a lot of attention is going to be diverted to them. Did Red Bull throw this championship away just so they could have more wind tunnel time for 2026?
Oh, so do you think Sergio Perez was deliberately awful to go, look, I'll be considerably shit, or just so you can have better wind tunnel time?
Or was he sabotaged? So, you know, they weren't going to let Max Verstappen not win that world championship. Did they then sabotage Sergio Perez to ensure that there was enough of an offset that they wouldn't win the Constructors? You know, finishing third gives you a fair amount more time in the wind tunnel.
I would really hope, as a professional team, that isn't true.
And this is why some of these limitations can cause for how do I say it? Having things like these in place can lead to, like, they can actually be detrimental to the sport.
Mm.
You know, the fact that a team could purposely, and by the way, I'm not suggesting this at all. This is just a pure conspiracy. I've seen a few people suggesting it online. Not saying I agree or believe it at all. But the fact of the matter is true. A team could purposely perform badly to put themselves in a better position for next year. Let's be honest, Red Bull, we've established this before. Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes are not in desperate need of the cash.
Mm.
They can take the hit on the constructors' revenue to give them more wind tunnel time so they can be better in the future.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a team like Alpine, for example, who are desperate to get those extra points, they need that cash.
Yeah.
Alpine need it, Haas need it, Williams need it. You know, these teams need it. But the teams at the top, they actually can afford to sacrifice it and get more wind tunnel time.
It's an interesting point. I haven't really thought about it. I mean,
because there's been a lot this season, right, where Sergio Perez has said things about the car, like, oh, they're not the same. Oh, now, you know, then when Max started having problems, now then he was like, now you see the problems I've been having since Barcelona 23 or whatever. And it's like, it's entirely plausible. You know, did they then also start dialing down Max Verstappen's car so he wasn't winning every race? So they could then finish.
I mean, 10 races without a win is a long time to go for someone like Red Bull and Max.
It is, but it ended perfectly for them. They got third in the constructors, and now they've got a lot of wind tunnel time.
Very true. It could be true. I'd hope it wasn't.
It's a pure conspiracy.
Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, can we talk about quickly about Pierre Gasly? So, yes. 10th in the driver standings. Helped Alpine earn an extra $10 million in the World Championship Constructors.
Yep.
9 points finishes and one podium.
Yep.
And £0 worth of car damage.
Yeah, although I've seen a few rumours speculating that might not be 100% true.
I'm sure he's had some damage that's caused. But
I bet it's minimal.
Minimal.
He's not caused anything major.
This second half of the season, he has had a phenomenal comeback with that Alpine team.
Yep.
That first half of the season, that Alpine was awful. And he's taken that car to next levels, hence why they finished sixth. If it wasn't for Pierre Gasly, and don't get me wrong, Ocon picked up points, not granted. But Pierre Gasly has just been so consistent over the last few races.
Pierre Gasly has started to be more consistent. But you know, I did also say earlier in the episode, we often see these midfield teams sort of start to charge towards the end of the season because they are still developing the cars, whereas the front runners have typically moved on to next year. But yeah, I think it's great. Ultimately, you still need to step up. Pierre Gasly has just been stepping up, and he's been, you know, he's stepped up to the plate, and he really seems like the main man at the team now. Obviously, that is the case anyway. Ocon's gone.
Yeah,
you've got Jack Doohan coming in next season.
Quickly, just talking about Jack Doohan. Obviously, finished, what, P15 this weekend?
Yeah.
P14, 15. A lot for him to come into. Got chucked in. You know, Ocon was replaced for Jack Doohan this weekend, which we thought was a bit questionable anyway because they're still fighting for in the constructors.
And I thought it was a bit out of order how they didn't give him a send-off.
Yeah, I agree with
you. You know, he wasn't even there for the final team photo. I did think that was a bit shitty, generally.
What are your thoughts on Jack Doohan this weekend? I know it's hard to really gauge after one race, but
yeah, seemed all right. I think that's all I can really say about him. Didn't race better than he qualified.
Well, three cars did finish.
Yeah, true. Didn't really blow me away, but I think that's completely fine. It was his first race.
I think for this weekend, it was about finishing, going through the actual weekend program itself, you know, the free practices, the qualifying, the race, and I think it'll put him in good stead going into next year.
Should I?
And it's probably a good thing to do for him in preparation.
Should I tell you one thing I do hate?
Yep.
This is pathetic. You know, on the name board?
Yeah.
He's just do, like... Just made me think of Scooby-Doo. It just made me not take him seriously. I don't know why.
That is pathetic.
That's the first thing I saw it and I was like, Scooby-Doo.
That.
And I was like, I wouldn't be able to take him seriously.
That, I mean,
it's pathetic.
It is. I'm not going to deny it.
I'm 28 years old.
Yep. Oh, have you seen Signs in a Williams?
No, because you've just come off it. Oh, he's gone for a white helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, this is one thing I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Is Lewis going to wear a red helmet next year?
Surely he will stick with his...
Who was the last driver to not wear a red helmet?
Ooh, I don't know. That is a good question.
But it is very typical of Ferrari drivers to wear red helmets.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google this.
Going to Google... I honestly can't remember.
Ferrari drivers who didn't wear red... Like, because I'm thinking... I don't think Alonso did.
Did he wear his...
Oh, Seb didn't.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, like, Michael did. I don't know, it'll be interesting. I don't know what Lewis is going to come with. I feel like he's going to come with his yellow helmet. Mm.
Iconic. Which,
that would still go, you know. If I'd rather him move away from the luminous sort of yellow that he's got at the moment and go back to his, like, Senna yellow.
Yeah, it's class. Talking of Senna, have you seen the Netflix documentary?
No, I do want to watch it, though.
So I'm, like, three episodes in. It's decent. The storyline, I mean, the storyline is the storyline, but the actual acting within is a bit, not so sure, but the actual story itself.
Is it just because they've had to find a guy that looks like Senna? And he's probably not like that good of an actor.
Yeah.
They've just picked anyone up off the street.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll do.
No, but the actual, it's quite gripping, all like, you know, the Alain Prost stuff and the Ron Dennis stuff and how he went from, you know, to Lotus then to McLaren and... You know, there's one clip and you'll watch it anyway, but when he was in Monaco and he was almost coming up to lap Alain Prost. He was like 50 seconds, almost coming up to a minute, you know, ahead. And he was in this zone and all of a sudden he just crashed. Ended up being out of the race. Alain Prost went on to win the race. But even those things you kind of forget. Because I actually remember seeing a clip of when he crashed at Monaco.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. I mean, what a driver. I mean... I know we say he's a legend in himself, but the more you watch and the more you hear about his stories, it's brilliant.
It really is good. And I mean, obviously Senna was before my time.
Oh,
and, mine. And realistically yours. Well, I mean, you were 6 when he died, 94.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't even had to... the way the F1 drivers all talk about Senna, you just know.
And I think you don't appreciate the driving style. You know, those cars weren't easy to drive. No. They were... You don't have the technology as you have today. Yeah. You know, these are teams at the pinnacle, you know, driving in wet races, cars are spinning off galore, and, you know, none of this...
Proper racing.
Yeah, it was just mad. And, yeah, if you haven't seen Senna, go and check it out because it is decent. Right, should we get into the race? Because we haven't really discussed the race. Let's talk about qualifying quickly. Bit of a shock. Lewis Hamilton went out. Another shocking qualifying for Hamilton this weekend.
Can I just say, that man is fucking cursed. He's cursed. He's cursed, right? In what world is it possible that Kevin Magnussen is going so slow in that second-to-last corner?
Yeah.
He then decides to drive up a curb off the track, smacks the bollard, which dislodges it perfectly in front of Lewis Hamilton's car, and it then gets stuck on the floor.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, most drivers complain because they get peel-offs in their radiators, whatever. Lewis Hamilton gets a bollard under his car.
Yeah, it was just... And I mean, Lewis came out and said afterwards, like, just my luck.
Yeah.
But
they also sent him out late. You know,
they did.
They put him on hard, say, to scrub the tyres for the race, which I understand. But then they sent him out last. They put him in loads of traffic. it was hard to get a lap together, and then all of a sudden the bollard gate took him out. So he ended up finishing P18. Jack Doohan did finish P20. Qualified P20.
Scooby.
Leclerc obviously had a lap time deleted. He went out in Q2.
Yep.
And considering he had a 10-place grid penalty, it was going to be a tough weekend.
Didn't set him up too well.
I was just thinking to myself, I was like, are we just giving everything to McLaren here? Because everything was just kind of like, yeah, we've got 10-place grid penalty. Oh, lap time deleted. I was like, we're just not going to get a good constructors battle. However, we did. Tsunoda, Lawson went out in Q2. Perez, even Bottas got into Q3. Nice for Bottas. I'm glad we got to see him in P9 for that. Alonso managed to get them into Q3 as well.
Can we just say, Perez qualified?
10th.
10th. Yeah, so he got out-qualified by Bottas in a Sauber.
Yeah, but so did Lewis.
That was circumstantial.
Yeah. Hülkenberg, P4. However, poor sod got a 3-place grid penalty. I think that's the second time it's happened this year. He got quite high up and then he's like got a penalty. Sainz put that car where he needed to be, P3, and Norris and Piastri, P1 and 2. And the McLarens just looked strong all weekend, really.
Yeah.
They
had it covered, really, didn't they?
Head-to-head, final 2024 qualifying head-to-head. Little quiz for you. Verstappen versus Perez.
23-1.
Okay. Bottas, Zhou.
Ooh. 14 to Bottas.
21 to Bottas, 3 to Zhou.
Wow, it's as much as that. Yeah.
This one was actually a bit shocking. Norris, Piastri. Russell,
you said, I think you actually said, mark my words, Piastri is going to finish ahead of Lando this year.
No, not this year. Next year.
No, I'm pretty sure you said it last season.
Next year.
No, I'm pretty sure you said it last season that Lando was going to finish behind Piastri.
Okay, let's move on. So, Russell, Hamilton.
So, just to confirm.
Next year, I said.
Piastri's ahead of Lando next year.
Yeah.
In the points.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I don't think there's a chance in hell that happens.
Okay, Russell Hamilton.
Oh, this has got to be quite... I'm going to go 18-6.
19-5.
Wow, yeah, I knew it would be bad.
Alonso Stroll.
Oh, that's got to be like 24.
No, 19-5. So much better. Hülkenberg Magnussen.
Probably not too dissimilar. 24.
16-6. That doesn't make sense. Oh, because Ollie Bearman.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that does make sense. Leclerc, Sainz.
This one's probably a little closer.
And you've got to remember, Carlos Sainz did miss Jeddah.
I'm going to go 15-8.
14-9.
Okay, very close.
Ocon, Gasly. This one, it was different to what I thought, actually.
16-8.
13-10.
Oh, yeah, obviously he missed the race. That's closer than I thought.
Yep. But Gasly was 10, Ocon 13.
What? Oh, what? Ocon?
Yeah.
Mad.
That's what I mean. So Albon, Colapinto, obviously 9 races.
6-3, Albon.
7-2. Yeah. And Tsunoda, Lawson.
This one I know.
There was 6 races.
6-0. Yuki deserves that seat.
Yuki deserves that Red Bull seat.
Get Yuki into that Red Bull right now.
Yeah.
Get Sergio Perez out. Look, if he's got all this dirt on you, move him down to the RB. He'll just have to firm it. Yuki Tsunoda deserves that Red Bull seat over Liam Lawson because he's proven this part of the season he is the quicker man.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't care what your agenda is, Red Bull. There's clearly something against Yuki. You clearly have a motive that you want Lawson in that seat. But come on, what more can Yuki Tsunoda do? He's been at the team since 2021 now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, and you've seen his growth. you've seen it. 2021, I think everyone was like, oh, bit of a hothead. Hasn't really got the talent to back it up. He's grown into a very, very solid F1 yeah. driver. And if you're going to give that opportunity to anyone, it's got to be him.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I don't know if you've seen this, but the similarities between Abu Dhabi 24 and Brazil 2012.
Hey, this is a cool one.
So Lewis Hamilton's last race obviously was this weekend in Abu Dhabi. However,
for
Mercedes. Cast your mind back to Brazil 2012 when it was his last race for McLaren. So Hamilton's final race for his team, Mercedes, and then McLaren. On this race day as well, Red Bull world champion spins on opening lap, as we've seen this weekend. Verstappen spun in first corner, hitting Piastri.
Yeah, I mean, he did a typical Max move.
He did. However, back in 2012, Red Bull world champion Sebastian Vettel also span on the opening lap. So, Perez retires.
Perez retired.
And Perez retired in 2012. British McLaren driver wins a race in 2024, which was Lando Norris. Back in 2012, Jenson Button won, okay, for McLaren. So, Spanish Ferrari driver finishes P2, obviously with Carlos Sainz this weekend. Mm-hmm. Back in 2012, Fernando Alonso finished P2 in Brazil. And finally, another Ferrari driver finishes P3, obviously Leclerc this weekend, back then.
Great drive, by the way, can we just say.
Can you tell me who finished on the podium P3 in 2012 for Ferrari?
Massa.
Massa, yeah. So it's quite. If you put money on that,
can you
imagine? But going back to what you just said, Charles Leclerc this weekend, 16 places gained, solid weekend, great drive, and you know. He's had a tough season on and off. You know, he's had a really big battle with Carlos Sainz and he really wants to win that Constructors or that world title for the Tifosi. You can see, and the one thing I really like about Charles Leclerc is his passion. You saw after the race, the frustration. You saw it, what, last year was it? Or the year before when he didn't finish P2 or something. He was annoyed about not finishing P2. Yeah. Ferrari have taken massive strides and Charles Leclerc is key to that. With Lewis Hamilton coming in, I really do believe next season Ferrari can win the Constructors' title. And your thing has just turned off.
It's died. It's out of battery.
That's good.
So that's that.
Is it not on charge?
Yeah, it's charging. It's just out. I don't know how it's died.
Do you want this one?
No, they're both the same.
Are they?
That's all right. We just won't be able to use that.
Yeah, fine.
This is 0%. It won't turn on.
It won't turn on. So, yeah, for me, I'm really excited next season to see what Ferrari can do.
Yeah, it's going to be a good season. I think across the board, you know, and I spoke about this on that reel that we did. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Where we've had an incredibly competitive season this year. And we will do a proper end of season review next week where we look at everything. But if next year can give us a proper Drivers' Championship battle and we have a sort of a similar season to this season with that in addition,
yeah,
could be an all-timer, boys.
Just finishing the race, obviously, let's talk about quickly that Max Verstappen incident with Piastri. I mean, that was clearly Max Verstappen's fault. He got a 10-second penalty for it. I loved Oscar Piastri's comment after. There's your four-time world champion.
Yeah, that's the move of a world champion.
Nice little class, a bit of sarcasm. I like that. I like that from Piastri. But clearly his fault. He obviously called the FIA absolute idiots.
Yeah, unreasonable, unnecessary.
Which, on this occasion, I would probably disagree with. But, again, it cost him his race. It was good. I understand what he's trying to do, but it was just the move was never there.
Just goes to show it, mate. His wheel-to-wheel racing is still lacking. Any sort of composure, any sort of give or take, he just smashes into people. That's what he does.
He doesn't even think about it. We've touched on it earlier. Norris, fantastic drive, fantastic win. Carlos Sainz, I mean, again, picking up P2 on his final race, again, being on the podium was brilliant for him. Leclerc, as we said, fantastic drive. Really was a brilliant drive all throughout.
Leclerc was voted driver of the day. He wasn't my driver of the day.
Was it Lewis?
It was Lewis.
I mean, it's...
P16 overtook his teammate on the last lap of the race without DRS. Took him around the outside. I mean, have you seen that tweet? Where it's like, start Lewis P20 and George pole, they'll finish together. It's true.
I've seen a clip of Lewis overtaking George, you know, from fan views in the stands. Yeah. It looked epic. I don't think the onboard footage did it justice of how good that overtake was. Yeah. Credit to George as well for actually giving the space, because he knew what was going to happen.
Well, that's how you race clean.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. It was such a nice overtake. Yeah, and for the final lap as well, it was brilliant. But no, credit to both Ferrari, Sainz and Leclerc had a solid weekend. And Hamilton, Russell, P4, P5. For me, this weekend, seeing Lewis Hamilton come to the end of a journey with Mercedes was really quite, you know, sad to see. And for us as, you know, Lewis fans, seeing that next chapter going to Ferrari, I'm sad, but I'm also very, very excited. Because, you know, Mercedes, they've achieved a lot together. They've had a lot of success. Anyone who questions that Lewis Hamilton doesn't have it, you need to go back and watch certain parts of this year, because he most definitely does. And I think he even showed that in Abu Dhabi, you know, Hammer Time even came out from Bono. Mm-hmm. It was just everything that you kind of wanted this weekend kind of happened, apart from him actually winning the race. But it's a great send off for Lewis. And yeah, I liked Lando's comment of like, everyone keeps acting like he's leaving the sport, but he's only going to Ferrari. And it's true, you know, but I think, because as we've touched on before, when you look at Mercedes, you class Mercedes as Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, it was such an iconic partnership. He won so much there. Literally broke every record there. So yeah, it was big. Lewis himself said that. He was like, it feels like I'm retiring, but yeah. Not.
No. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in red next year. Verstappen P6, Gasly P7. Hülkenberg again had a very solid race this weekend. Even had a bit of a collision as well, didn't he? I can't remember who he collided with. Did he? I know
Bottas went into everyone. I felt bad for Bottas. That was not the send-off he deserved.
No. But all round, actually a very enjoyable race. I liked it. I thought it was...
It actually was all right. I can't lie. It was a good race.
We've had a lot of crappy Abu Dhabi races over the years. But
one in particular comes to mind.
Yeah, 2021. So let's just quickly look at the standings. So we know Max Verstappen won the World Championship. He did that a while ago. But the team-wise, so McLaren finished on 666 points. Ferrari, 652. That is the most. Close. That is the most points scored for Ferrari ever. Obviously,
I mean, that would make sense.
I know, obviously, points has changed over the years and stuff like that. But I mean, from a joint pairing, this is the most points they've ever scored in Ferrari history, which... Again, for Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, it shows what a successful season this has been. Red Bull finished P3, Mercedes P4, Aston Martin P5, Alpine finished P6 with, you know, a great drive from Pierre Gasly. I like Alpine have already on the website, on the F1 website, have already replaced Ocon. He's gone. Yeah, it's already gone. Haas P7. Again, for me, for Haas, when you look at Haas and, you know, the struggles that they've had over the years, to finish P7 this year with 58 points is a very solid...
And it came down to the wire.
It is, yeah. And they were fighting for P6, so it's a very solid season for Haas. Obviously, they're going to have a massive change next year with Ocon and Behrmann coming in. For me, losing Hülkenberg is a massive loss for Haas.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's been really good.
But yeah, no, on a whole, Haas has been brilliant this year. RB finished P8. Williams P9 and Kick Sauber P10.
Horrible season for them. One to forget.
Yeah. Just finally, I want to say, Colapinto, if you're not in the sport next year, you'll be very much missed. I really like Colapinto, and he's really dropped off in the last few races, and I think that can come in line with the car performance and, you know, the parts and the struggles they've had to try and get his cars running each weekend. But Colapinto's come into this sport and he's rejuvenated some people's love for the sport. You see the fan base coming back, you know, from Argentina. And I would really love to see him in the seat next year. I can't see it happening. I think it may be 2026 potentially.
I don't think there's anywhere for him.
No, no. But obviously Red Bull's been ruled out. Alpine's been ruled out.
Yeah, Alpine have had Jack Doohan for a while now.
You know Alpine. You can never rule out Alpine. They would quite easily just like drop him at the top of that and then go, oh, Colapinto, come in.
Nah, I don't think that was ever going to happen.
But I've been really impressed with Colapinto. And I suppose it's a bit like a Liam Lawson. I feel like he does deserve a seat in the sport, especially when you do have drivers still in there, like likes of Perez and, you know, that so on. But yeah, Colapinto, he's been utterly superb since he's come in. And yeah, decent.
We'll miss him. We will.
Is there anything else we need to add on? No.
You've covered it.
Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. We will be back next week. And we'll be doing our end of season review. We'll be looking at all things, what's our favourite races, performances, you know, what's our standout moments, a lot of things which we'll be looking at next week. So stay tuned for that.
Next year.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, do leave us a rating. Have a good week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.